All right. We are going to go to Leo Holman and James Rogoski here in just 1 second, but we got to take a quick break. We are brought to you by you. Let's do this real quick, folks. I want you to go over to MyPillow.com, if you would. Father's Day is coming up, and you can get some great gifts. Get your dad, your granddad, your uncle, your husband. Get them the MyPillow 2.0. Buy one, get one free. Got the coolant technology. The slippers, they were $149.98, then about $60. Now they're down to $25 with that promo code B66, promo code B66. Then we also have the slippers, sandals, and slides. Memorial Day's coming up here, folks. Summertime, get your sandals and slides down as low as $19.50 when you use the promo code B66. Luxurious Giza Dream Sheets as low as $29.98. These would make great Father's Day gifts as well. Luxurious Giza Dream Sheets. What dad wouldn't appreciate that, or granddad, right? And then we also have, of course, the My Mattress Topper 2.0 with 3-inch coil hybrid topper. Let me show you a little secret. Go to MyPillow.com. Go down there to where you see Mike Lindell with a pair of headphones and microphone. It says Radio Podcast Specials. Click on Shop Now, and voila, 6-piece towel set. Were $100, were then $50. Now $25 if you use the promo code B66. Sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, mattresses, mattress toppers, robes, and more. Great gifts, housewarming gifts, graduation gifts for kids going off to college. They need sheets. They need towels. Wedding gifts. Well, the new bride and groom, they need towels, 6-piece towel set, and sheet. And then, of course, birthdays. You know, giving a gift to a friend. I shipped 8 MyPillows. Mike Lindell and I sent 8 MyPillows to the Reagan family, to Michael Reagan, to Colleen, to Ashley, who just got married. We talked about that last night, to Cameron. So the Reagan family just got a gift from Mike Lindell and myself. We sent them 8 of the MyPillows to help the family celebrate the wedding of Ashley, Ronald Reagan's youngest granddaughter. So they should have their MyPillows. I meant to ask Mike about that last night. If they don't have them, they should be getting them this week. So we give them as gifts. We do. We give them as gifts. Why don't you do the same? Pick up some gifts right there at MyPillow.com. Everybody gets a great deal, great products, and we win because it's a big part of our general operating budget, because we get a generous percentage of each purchase coming back to Brandon House Live and Lindell TV to keep it all going. This is, you know, Mike gives promo codes to a lot of broadcast outlets. Lindell TV has one too. So this is how we help fund the whole thing, folks, and we need your support. B66, you get savings and we get credit. Let's go to a wide camera shot. Pull down that lower third. People are always asking if I don't show her every couple days where she is. There she is on her MyPillow pet bed, sound asleep. Yeah, she just had dinner not too long ago. She's good. She got a little extra macaroni and cheese tonight. Not supposed to do that too much, but we gave her a little treat. So her belly's full. She's sound asleep. Long as she hears my voice, she's good to go. Sometimes I do have to leave and she's not allowed to go, and I hear from the family she stands around and whines and howls in the air. So as long as she hears my voice, she usually is pretty mellow, and there she is on her MyPillow pet bed. Get one for your pet, but use that promo code B66. So Delta's in the house. If I don't show her every few days, people ask, where is Delta? Well, she's fine. She's sound asleep. Yeah, she's not even moving with me calling her name or talking to her. Well, there you go. She's good. All is good. All right, joining us now is none other than James Rogoski and Leo Holman. Leo, of course, said, hey, Brandon, you need to get James on. He texted me that. Little did he know, I've been talking to James the last few days, telling James, if there's anything that goes on, I need to know. We got to get you on right away. And sure enough, we got to get him on right away. And Leo's written a brand new article about all this at leoholman.com. They both join us tonight. Gentlemen, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Brandon.
Hello, Leo. Hello, James.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being had. All right, let's go. James, that's a joke. Let's go to leoholman.com. I've told that one before, haven't I, Leo? Let's go to leoholman.com. Michelle Bachmann reports directly from WHO World Assembly in Geneva. Quote, no dissent registered by any nation thus far to proposed amendments nor to global pandemic treaty, end quote. So we'll start with you. We'll look at that subtitle. James Rogoski also weighs in, quote, I can appreciate a skillfully crafted evil plan. And that's what I see. End quote. So, Leo, you've been talking to our mutual friend, Michelle Bachmann. She's over there, and all the nations are falling dutifully in line with world Chinese Bill Gates dominated WHO.
Yeah, surprise, surprise, Brandon. I mean, did we expect anything else?
No, not really.
No, why did we expect this? Because Klaus Schwab has already been writing about this for, 3 years or more, saying how we need to digitize humanity. We need to get a firmer control over the behaviors of humanity. And how are we going to do this? We're going to do it by implementing a global digital ID system for all people. And if they're successful, Brandon, this will include your biometric data. It will include all sorts of personal information on your health status. Are you up to date on your shots? If not, when was the last time you were tested for COVID or whatever pandemic of the moment they may be pushing? Once you have your, as our guest here, James Rogoski, pointed out in this article that I wrote, and I thought it was brilliant. This doesn't just have to do with forcing vaccines on people and making sure you're up to date with your shots. Once you have this digital app on your phone, it could also be used to include more certificates of compliance. So maybe you haven't had the shot, but then they want to know, and it could be any of various shots here. We're not just talking about the COVID shot. They're already talking about a new pandemic, and they've got a new bird flu vaccine waiting in the wings that they'd love to get into people's arms. But let's say you're one of those vaccine hesitant types like you or me. We all know people during the last pandemic who did not succumb to the COVID vaccine, the forced vaccines, whatever mandated vaccines, whatever word you want to use, but they did submit themselves to rather consistent testing, whether it was for their job. If they didn't get the shot, they had to get what? Tested on a weekly basis, sometimes even more frequently than that. Or you had to get tested to enter certain countries if you were an international traveler. Well, line up for your digital ID and you can have that instantaneously added to the QR code on your app. So you won't have to submit to the COVID shot or the bird flu shot or whatever. But as James pointed out, you're still submitting to the digital ID.
Wow. What are your thoughts on all this, James?
You know, Brandon, I'd actually like to ask you a question, if I may, turn the tables on you. I reported on some of the finances of the WHO. And so if you had $1 billion and you were working for the WHO and you had 8,851 employees and you were able to pay them an average of $120,000 a year each, how much propaganda do you think you could produce?
Oh, man. I could produce so much. I mean, it would be mind-blowing. Mind-blowing.
Okay, so that's what we're dealing with this week and continuously, okay? This week is just the onslaught of an overwhelming amount of information. And so a lot of times what you see in the news, you know, not on your show, but elsewhere, it's the things that are meant to distract. And so what Leo was just talking about is the, you know, Global Digital Health Certification Network. Now, it's proposed in the amendments from the European Union, all the things that Leo mentioned, the vaccine certification, the prophylaxis certification, the testing certification, the recovery certification. None of these things are defined, but they're just busy building it out. They had a little tiny paragraph in one of the documents that referenced to another document, Report O, and you know they just quietly say, oh, we're operationalizing the things that are being negotiated. They've also announced things like the WHO Hub for Pandemic and Epidemic Intelligence, IPSN. I did an article a little while ago about the Preparedness and Resilience for Emerging Threats system. They have the Epidemic Intelligence from Open Sources system. They're working on the PABS, Pathogen Access and Benefits System. It just goes on and on. They're just doing it. And the negotiations are going along. It's kind of like if somebody, you know, you wanted to build a house and you built a house and then you hired the architect to draw the drawings based on the house that was built. What people are losing sight of, and this is going to get a little bit down into the nitty gritty of it. Way back in 1969, when the US government allowed the first version of the international health regulations to be adopted, that's when we didn't lose our sovereignty then. I want to be very clear. What we saw happen, but we weren't paying attention, if people were even alive back then, is the Congress abdicated its authority to weigh in on all of these international agreements. And so here's where everybody gets confused, and I hope I can help everybody clarify. It wasn't a treaty that got us into the WHO. It was a congressional executive agreement. Congress passed a resolution, and President Truman signed it. And so Congress has failed to weigh in on the 1969 IHRs, on the 2005 IHR. And here's the thing I want everybody to pay attention to. Last year, we talked about this already, but still people don't want to pay attention to it. Last year, the World Health Assembly did adopt amendments to the international health regulations, and Congress has completely failed to even speak about the fact that they should be representing the will of the people in opposition to those changes. We cannot allow unelected delegates to an international organization to change international law without Congress weighing in on it, and absolutely, they have been silent.
Absolutely, which is why what you've been doing is so important. Your Substack is jamesrogoski.substack.com, right, James?
That is correct, and I want to point people to a very important article in there, which is silenceequalsconsent.com, just spelled all out, because next month in June, that everyone can participate. I encourage everyone in the United States to go to silenceequalsconsent.com. Lo and behold, maybe it's the pressure or you know, who knows what, but the Office of Global Affairs and the Department of Health and Human Services will be having two, what they call listening sessions, and everyone can send an email, apply for a spot to speak to them directly to the delegates. And you can also send in information via written format. Leo, send in your application. You know, Brandon, send in yours. The point is, we as citizens have an obligation to tell our public servants what we demand that they do. If we don't do our job and tell them what we want, then, you know, it's our fault. But if Absolutely. We tell them very clearly what we want and they fail to do so, then it's clearly their fault. And so I encourage everyone to speak up. And a creative way of going about it is go to stopthewho.com and get all of the information, all of the documents, the summary. I actually did sort of a Cliff Notes version of all of this. People can download that and get, you know, up to speed very quickly. Record a video, say what you want to say, and send that video to your congressperson. Let them have a piece of your mind and spread it all, put it on, you know, whatever platform you want. If you're silent, they assume that you're consenting to whatever they're doing.
That's Those exactly right. So
I have a question for James. Is it true, James, that the U.S. Senate actually held a vote recently in this regard in terms of whether or not they wanted to have a say in this treaty?
In a sense, there's bills both in the House and in the Senate. Senator Ron Johnson has, I think it's Senate Bill 444, but I believe he took that legislation and submitted it as an amendment to another piece of legislation, and it went down to defeat 49-47. One Republican voted against the amendment, and otherwise it would have been a 48-48 tie. It shouldn't even be a question. All of the people who voted against
it. When you say it went down to defeat, James, are you saying that they voted to opt out of performing their constitutional duty of consent over treaties, advice and consent over treaties?
In essence, that's correct, Leo. It was in the form of a vote on an amendment to another piece of legislation. And, you know, they've basically violated their oath of office to say that they don't want to weigh in the way the Senate is obligated to do so. Now, I want to be very, very clear, though. There's a separate process for a congressional executive agreement, which is how we got into the WHO. And so all of Congress is supposed to weigh in on anything that's going on with the WHO. And, you know, changes to international law were adopted by the Assembly last year. And I have not heard a single congressperson or senator say boo
right
about those changes last year.
Wow. Okay, let me ask you this in closing. This is slated for May of 2024. So what you're saying is that they're writing all the amendments now, everybody's going along, and then it's just a matter of a formality for May of 2024. Are we going to see a pandemic, a plandemic between now and 2024 to soften up the population? You're smirking already, James. To soften up the population and everybody before the vote, or are they going to wait till after the vote?
I'll let Leo go first. Go ahead, Leo.
Well, the timing does seem rather, shall we say, coincidental, that they're talking right now. All of the WHO has come out, the CDC has come out talking about bird flu being a big danger, and that it's going to be much more deadly potentially than the COVID virus was. And we could see the bird flu become a pandemic between now and 2024, just in time for the U.S. to give its sovereignty away to the WHO.
Wow. All right. Great work. You're both doing leohoman.com, brand new article, leohoman.com, jamesrogoski.substack.com. Both of you, thanks for being here. Thanks for all you're doing, for being ever vigilant and keeping us up to date.
Thanks,
Thank
Brandon.
You.
Thank you, guys.